Welcome back to our Shir in Likut HaStichas. We are learning a sticha in volume 19, Chelek Yutes, Parshas Ekev, the second sticha, beginning on page 94. This is the sticha on a Rashi. So I will give the background to the postuk and then proceed with the postuk and the Rashi on it. Parshas Ekev begins with several pieces of introduction. The first says that if you, Yidden, keep the mitzvot which Hashem gave you, as a consequence of that, Hashem will bless you, and then the pasuk enumerates different blessings which will flow as a consequence. Then the pasuk goes on to say, do not fear the nations and the kings which inhabit the land of Canaan, which you are about to enter and conquer, because Hashem will deliver them in your hands, miraculously even. It then goes on to say that when you enter the land and conquer it, do not covet the avodah zarah, the many idols which are found throughout the land. Don't get entrapped in the practice of avodah zarah. Don't covet the gold and the silver which adorn them. Don't take any for yourself home. Certainly don't worship them, because that will chas v'sholem lead to your downfall. Then comes the postuk with which we are dealing. And the postuk says, kol ha-mitzvah, all the mitzvah which I've commanded you, says Hashem, today you shall guard and do them. Leman tichyun, so that you live, urevistem, and you increase, uvostem v'yirishtem esores, and you will come and inherit this land which Hashem swore to give to your forefathers to give you. Rashi cites two words from the pasuk and comments, kol ha-mitzvah, all the commandments. And Rashi says first, kipshutoi, it means simply all the commandments. And then he continues, u'medrish ha-godeh. Another interpretation following a medrash, which is not pshat, but it's agode, it's homiletic, but it's close to the pshat. Kol ha-mitzvah means the totality of the mitzvah. If you've begun a mitzvah, finish it. Because, says Rashi, the mitzvah is credited and attributed to the one who completes it. And then Rashi proceeds to prove this point that the mitzvah is credited to the one who completes it by bringing the example of Yosef's remains. Yosef asked his brothers to swear that when they leave Egypt, they will take his remains with them and rebury them in Eretz Yisrael. Now, when the time came to leave Egypt, it was Moshe Rabbeinu himself alone who took the remains of Egypt, of Yosef, out of Egypt with him. As the pasuk says earlier in Parshas Bishalach, Vayikach Moshe, as Atmos Yosef Imoi, Moshe took the remains of Yosef with him. Rashi doesn't bring that pasuk, I'm just filling it in. So we see that Moshe Rabbeinu alone was the one who attended to Yosef's remains. Nevertheless, when describing Yosef's reinterment in Eretz Yisrael, it says that B'nai Yisrael took Yosef remains, which they brought out of Egypt, and they buried them in Shechem. Why is it all attributed to Bnei Yisrael? Because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't manage to complete the job. After all, he didn't enter Eretz Yisrael, so he wasn't able to complete the task of reinterring Yosef's remains in Eretz Yisrael. Who did it? Bnei Yisrael. Therefore, the mitzvah is credited to them. Now, that's the Rashi. What does Rashi want? Why does he comment at all? And why is he not satisfied with the simple meaning of kol ha-mitzvah being all the commandments? He finds it necessary to quote a Medrash Agoda, which he himself says is Medrash Agoda. It's not Pshat. What is bothering Rashi? So the Meforshim on Rashi say that Rashi is bothered by a grammatical point. Ha-mitzvah is a singular, the commandment. Kol ha-mitzvah implies all the commandments. So which is it? Is it one or is it all? Therefore, it might seem that we're talking about a particular mitzvah. So Rashi says, no, kipshutoi. It means simply all the commandments, and sometimes the whole body of commandments is referred to in a singular form. Okay, so it means each and every commandment. But then why not say kol mitzvah, each and every mitzvah? Because Rashi is bothered by that, Rashi brings also the Medrash Agoda, according to which we're actually referring to one single commandment, which a person began to fulfill, and the Torah is telling him, complete it. That's the way the Meforshim learn. But, said the Rebbe, if you look carefully at Rashi, you'll realize that this grammatical point is not what bothers Rashi. Because after all, this expression, kol ha-mitzvah, which if it were contradictory, Rashi would comment on it. It was already brought up twice in the Chumash before, and Rashi did not find it necessary to comment. Apparently, according to Rashi, it's quite common to refer to the entire body of the commandment as one unit. So why in the word kol ha-mitzvah in our parsha does Rashi find it more problematic that he has to comment at all and in fact bring a medrash agod? In the comment of the medrash agod which Rashi brings, there are several fine points which the Rebbe brings up. 4 points. First of all, why does Rashi go to all the length of saying that you should complete the mitzvah because the mitzvah is credited to the one who finishes it? As far as explaining our pasuk kol ha-mitzvah, all that's necessary to say is that do the totality of the mitzvah which you've begun, finish it. That's all Rashi needs to say. The idea that the mitzvah is credited to the one who finishes is not important, not relevant to explain our pasuk. If Rashi already finds it necessary, is it important here to bring a proof for the rule that the mitzvah is credited to the one who finishes it? If Rashi finds it necessary to bring a proof, why does he not cite the proof which is brought in Gemara and in Medrash, there they speak in very harsh terms about someone who begins the mitzvah and doesn't complete the job. And they show that Yehuda, one of the 12 brothers, sons of Jacob, who began to rescue his brother Yosef when they threw Yosef into a pit out of their enmity for him, Yehuda felt responsible and he said, no, this is no good. We mustn't leave him in the pit to die. Let's take him out of the pit. So he began to rescue him, but he didn't finish the job because what happened next is that Yosef was sold into slavery. Why didn't he finish it and rescue him, bring him back home to his father? So what do we find happened to Yehuda? This is all the Gemara and Medrash. What happened to Yehuda? First of all, he lost his position, his standing among his brothers. The Pasuk says there in Parshas Vayeshev, Vayered Yehuda me'ez Echov. Yehuda descended from his brothers. What does it mean he descended? So simply it means geographically he went south. But the Gemara comments that he went down from his prestige. He lost his standing. He was respected among his brothers, and now he was no longer respected. And that was a consequence of his starting a job and not finishing it. Even more, Yehuda lost two sons, Rachmon al-Islam. He lost Eir and Oinon, his two sons. And that too is attributed by the Gemara and the Medrash to the fact that he didn't complete the job of rescuing Yosef. So that's a far more telling, potent point about the importance of finishing a mitzvah that one started than the one that Rashi brings. So why does Rashi ignore the proof that the Gemara and the Medrash bring and bring the proof from the remains of Yosef? Lastly, when Rashi brings the proof from reinterring Yosef's remains, he says that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't manage, loy he speak, he didn't manage to complete the job. What do you mean he didn't manage? Why is it important here why he didn't complete the job? The important thing is that he didn't. In fact, he didn't manage means it wasn't up to him. He wasn't able to complete the job because he never entered Eretz Yisrael. But why is that relevant as part of the proof of the importance of completing a mitzvah, or that the credit of a mitzvah is given to the one who completes it? Says the Rebbe, in order to understand all this, we have to place things in their context. Where are we now in the Chumash? At what point is this pasuk being said? Well, Moshe Rabbeinu began his speech from the beginning of Chumash Devarim, Eila HaDvarim HaShadibe Moshe. These are the words which Moshe said. And the Pasuk says, when he said them, he began on the first day of the 11th month, which means the first day of Shvat. Nisan is month number one, Shvat is 11, and the first day of that month, Rosh Chodesh Shvat, is when Moshe Rabbeinu began. He passed away on the 7th of Adar, some 40 days later. So these words, which we're reading, Kol HaMitzvah in Parshas Ekev, were said on or close to Rosh Chodesh Shvat. So what Moshe Rabbeinu telling them? Do all the mitzvahs which I command you so that you may live and enter the land. What mitzvahs are they in a position to fulfill in that short time span. Certainly not the mitzvahs which belong to the land, they're not there yet. Also not many of the mitzvahs which are done outside of the land, like Yomim Toivim. There's no Yomim Toivim between the beginning of Shvat and the 7th of Adar. So there's a small range of mitzvahs which they're able to fulfill during that time. So what's he referring to? So some Meforshim want to say, Kol HaMitzvah means, in fact, the mitzvah which we just finished talking about. As I said before, immediately preceding our Pasuk is Moshe Rabbeinu's injunction that the people not get trapped in the sin of Avodah Zorah, that they destroy any idols that they encounter, that they not covet the finery, the adornments that are on the idols, and take them for themselves, and they not take anything home, but they should destroy it. That's the mitzvah which Moshe is talking about, the one which we just finished dealing with. That would make sense. Why doesn't Rashi learn that way? Says the Rebbe, because chronologically it doesn't fit. If we're dealing now with the period between Rosh Chodesh Adar and, Rosh Chodesh Shvat and Zayin Adar, those around 40 days, when they have not yet entered the land, how can Moshe be telling them this mitzvah, which I just finished talking to you about, namely the mitzvah of Avodah Zorah, which you should destroy when you enter and conquer the land? You shall not take anything for yourself. When does all that apply? Once they've entered and conquered. So how can Moshe be telling them, fulfill this mitzvah so that you will live and enter the land? Backwards. Therefore, Rashi doesn't want to learn like those Meforshim, because it's impossible that in the merit of the mitzvah, which they haven't done yet, which they would only do when they got in Eretz Yisrael, in the merit of that, they will live and enter Eretz Yisrael. At any rate, since we're dealing with this time frame between Rosh Chodesh Shvat and Zayin Adar, so what is this Kol HaMitzvah, all the mitzvahs which I command you, you shall keep? Which all the mitzvahs? We've ruled out that it might mean the mitzvah of Avodah Zorah. What does it refer to? So surely we must say, despite the difficulty, that Kol HaMitzvah means whatever mitzvah you are in a position to do, you shall do, and that will be to your credit so that you may enter the land and conquer it. But it's difficult to learn that way, that Kol HaMitzvah means this narrow range. That's why Rashi brings the Medrash HaGodol, that it's not talking about all the mitzvahs, but it means all of any mitzvah that you begin, you must complete. The problem is, what's that got to do with entering the land? Why is it important for Moshe Rabbeinu to tell them now at this point that when you start a mitzvah, you must finish it? In order to explain that, Rashi does not stop after saying this sentence that if you begin a mitzvah, you must finish it. Rashi continues, the mitzvah is credited to the one who finishes it. And we have a proof from the story of Yosef's reinterment in Eretz Yisrael. What's that got to do with the entering of the land? So the Rebbe explained. Eretz Yisrael was promised with an oath to our forefathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, that he would give the land to their descendants. So it was a foregone conclusion that the land would be given to Bnei Yisrael. But nevertheless, it still was dependent on the behavior of those who would actually enter and conquer the land. As we find that when Bnei Yisrael sinned in the story of the Meraglim and they rejected Eretz Yisrael, they said it's a bad idea to go there. They were not Zoiche, they didn't merit to enter the land. And the entry into Eretz Yisrael was delayed for 40 years. Only the next generation entered. So we see that it's dependent on the behavior of those who are actually about to enter and conquer. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu is telling them in this pasuk. It's true that your fathers, the earlier generation, the ones who left Mitzrayim, did various mitzvahs, and surely that contributed to the merit by which we're all going into Eretz Yisrael. However, you must know that a mitzvah is attributed to the one who completes it. And therefore, it's up to you, this new generation, who were young when they left Mitzrayim, and therefore they were not part of the decree that they would die out in the desert. They're the ones who are about to enter Eretz Yisrael. And Moshe said to them, you do the mitzvahs, whatever you're able to do, and in that merit, you will also have the mitzvahs which your fathers did, which will be credited to you. Because mitzvahs are credited to those who complete them. And you are the generation who's completing it. So accordingly, the Medrash HaGodah, which talks about completing a mitzvah, is not in dispute with the simple pshat of kol ha-mitzvah being all the mitzvahs. Because in fact, completing the job is that which the generation entering the land did with respect to all the mitzvahs which were practiced by their fathers. But now the question arises. I can understand that those who complained about Eretz Yisrael in the story of the spies, they rejected and spurned Eretz Yisrael. They said, we don't want to go there. And because of that, the entry into the land was delayed 40 years, an entire generation. So we can understand that their mitzvahs are credited to their children. Okay. But those who did not collude with the spies, who wanted to go into Eretz Yisrael, but they died nonetheless because they were part of that bracket between 20 and 60 years of age, that entire generation which died out in the desert, but they wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael, not like the spies or those who colluded with them. Why should their mitzvahs not be credited to them? Conversely, what of those who were younger than 20 years old at the time of the story of the spies? But they didn't want to go into Eretz Yisrael. But they're still alive now, and they're entering Eretz Yisrael, so they will be credited with the mitzvahs of their fathers, some of them who wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael. How's that? In order to explain that, Rashi brings the proof from Yosef HaTzadik's remains and the Bnei Yisrael who interred them in Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to complete the job, but he didn't manage. He was prevented by Hashem from entering the land. And on the other hand, when it came to starting the job, taking Yosef's remains from Egypt, Moshe was the only one who was busy with it. Other Yidden didn't get involved. So here again, we have a situation where those who could didn't start the job. The one who started the job didn't complete the job, not because he didn't want to, but because he was prevented against his will. And nevertheless, to whom does Torah credit the mitzvah of burying Yosef's remains in Eretz Yisrael, not to Moshe who wanted to, but to Bnei Yisrael who didn't get involved in the beginning of the job. Likewise, over here, the people who wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael, but were prevented from doing so, the mitzvahs which they did are credited to their children who are entering the land, and it's in the merit of those mitzvahs that they enter the land. On the other hand, those who were around at the time of the rejection of Eretz Yisrael, they were part of that rejection. Nevertheless, they now finishing the mitzvahs which are necessary in order to merit the land, they are credited with the mitzvahs not only of their own, but also of their father's generation. Now we understand why Rashi does not bring the proof from Yehuda, which the Medrash and the Gemara bring, because Rashi is not out to show the gravity of not finishing a mitzvah, starting and not finishing. That's not his point. Rashi wants to show that the mitzvah is credited to the one who finishes, even when the one who started it wanted to finish it, and the one who finished it didn't bother to get involved when it was started. Nevertheless, it's credited to the one who finishes. That we don't see from the story of Yehuda. That we see from the story of Yosef's remains being buried in Eretz Yisroel by Bnei Yisroel and not by Moshe. We're going to need to skip several sections of the Sicha. It's long and it's intricate, beautiful, but because of time constraints, we'll have to skip some of it and go straight to the lesson that the Rebbe derives in Yeino Shel Torah in Avodas Hashem that we can derive from the Rashi, particularly pertinent for our days. This is the generation which, like those who entered the land, this is the generation which will see Mashiach, which will greet Mashiach. So to this generation it was said, although we are of much lesser stature in terms of Torah study, in terms of Avodas Hashem mitzvahs, of much lesser stature than our forebears, nevertheless, the credit for the mitzvahs of previous generation will be credited to us because we are finishing the job of those things which have to be done in order to bring Mashiach. And that gives us encouragement into each of us in order to increase in our dedication, in our perseverance in performing Torah mitzvahs in these last days of Golus. So that's for the generation as a whole. More particularly, the Baal Shem Tov said in what will bring Mashiach, the famous meeting between the Baal Shem Tov and the Neshama of Mashiach, where the Baal Shem Tov asked, Amos I call Simar, when will the master come? And Mashiach answered, Lekshiyafutsu minestecha chutzo, when you're wellsprings, your wellsprings, Baal Shem Tov, your teachings will be spread abroad. When Pnimius HaTorah, the teachings of Chassidus, will be spread abroad. That's when Mashiach will come. So what brings Mashiach is the spreading of wellsprings of Hasidus. So it could be that there's someone who was busy for decades in this job of spreading the wellsprings of Hasidus abroad. Now he figures, look, I've done my bit. Let someone else take over. I don't need to be involved as much anymore with that much impetus. Let somebody else do it. So in case someone feels such a slackening in his work of Hapotzas Tamayonas, spreading the wellsprings of Chassidus, here we have the lesson for such a person. If you've begun, finish. Because the credit is due to the one who finishes. And especially since you want to have all the broches and the bounty from Hashem, which he grants through the Rabbeim to those who engage in this task of spreading the wellsprings of Chassidus. So that will be credited to those who finish. When one decides with determination, with truth, that he's going to carry on the job, then he gets the koyach, the ability and the strength to overcome any obstacles, difficulties, or a feeling of lassitude, which may have set in after a long time of working on this. And then, together with all the Yidden, such a person will be zoichehun merit to be at the forefront of bringing Moshiach Tzidkenu in a revealed way very soon, b'meirah v'yameinu mamash.